Overseas Contingency Operations Funds, or OCO, sounds a lot better than slush fund. Whatever you call it, presidents both Republican and Democratic have used it to bolster the DOD budget, lately outside of the Budget Control Act rules. This year is no different. My next guest argues Congress should do better. Lacey Healy is a fellow at the Stimson Center's Budgeting for Foreign Affairs and Defense program, and she joins me now. Ms. Healy, good to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
So you've written that this is really falling on Congress's feet since administrations will do what administrations do, is the way I read it, correct?
Yeah, essentially, this is something that Congress has to take care of at this point, particularly as the Trump administration has taken over. They've, at this point, not made any effort to address overseas contingency operations spending. And, we just have recently, folks at OMB, new comptroller, everyone's sort of saying that this is here to stay, that it's a necessary evil. And so it looks like, this is something that Congress is going to have to take care of, also not least of which because the BCA is their problem, the Budget Control Act.
That is one issue. But I wanted to get to the OCO, the OCO itself, and how they account for it, because there is a theory that some part of what you would normally call base budget should be allocated to the OCO, because to sustain operations overseas, you do need that standing Pentagon tail. So the question is, where do you draw the line, I guess, maybe? And is that the fudge area we're talking about?
Yeah, well, the biggest problem has come about because OCO has always been in existence. So this is not a new thing. But the way we're using it today is very, very different than it used to be used. We used to use this as war funding. We had emergency supplementals and we had, certain things were designated as war funding. When the BCA came about, we suddenly needed to designate things as either base funding or war funding. And what was really important about that was that ultimately, if they were designated as war funding, they weren't subject to the caps under the BCA. And so ultimately, the Pentagon, the administrations, and Congress have gotten very comfortable with using OCO as a bit of a loophole in the current law. So they're designating things as OCO that would traditionally fall in the base. And it really is this relationship with the BCA that's ultimately led to the abuse that we're seeing.
The OCO really grew large during the aftermath of 9/11 with the major contingency operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it sounds like it never came back after that.
Yeah.
Or it came back to a degree that is not as far as the actual war activities came back.
So what's interesting is originally OCO, under the Bush administration, we just saw emergency supplementals. It was sort of business as usual. Then the Obama administration came in and they said there's not enough transparency in these year after year emergency supplementals. This isn't responsible. We have to do something about this. So they took overseas contingency operations and designated it. They set it aside as a portion of the budget that was more obvious now. And so we started making requests for base funding and requests for overseas contingency operations funding separately. And so we were no longer doing this sort of as a supplemental process. We were doing it as an institutionalized process within the budget. And that's sort of where things got a little tricky, because within that time, overseas contingency operations rose to its height, and then it started going down as the wars started winding down, troops started coming home. And we see over the years that the difference between the cost of a single troop, now some of this is related to the cost of O&M, which has been rising as well, but operations and maintenance, there's a little bit of this that has to do with the base money ending up in overseas contingency operations, which is that the cost of a single troop has gone from $1 million in 2008 to now about $590 million in FY17. And so we've seen, a 590% increase in very few years in the cost of fielding a single troop. Some of this is not just regular spending. Some of this is other stuff that's finding its way in.
What are some of the items on which OCO money is spent that should be, you believe, in the base budget?
So there's a lot of readiness funding now making its way into overseas contingency operations spending. Readiness is of course, it's necessary. It's something that you're going to hear folks on the Hill talking a lot about, and folks in the administration, particularly right now as they're there's a big push to, you know, renew and prepare for whatever's coming next. But that's not money that belongs in overseas contingency operations. That's not money that should be in our war spending account, essentially. That's base budget funding. There's also stuff like the European Reassurance Initiative, which is, you know, expressly NATO funding that has found its way into OCO. Just all these sort of new funds that have popped up over this period of time. Any new spending is making its way one way or another into OCO.
We're speaking with Lacey Healy, a fellow at the Stimson Center's Budgeting for Foreign Affairs and Defense program. Could readiness, just taking the devil's view from the Pentagon here, could readiness be argued, well, it really is for contingency because if the troops aren't ready, they can't fight?
Well, that's the thing. So what's really interesting when you're talking about these designations is that, you know, it gets very gray very fast because, you know, the mission of the department is to fight wars. And so
and win them
and win them. And so, you know, when you're talking about what should be war spending, well, hey, there's an argument that it's all war spending, right? But traditionally, the money that has belonged in the base is the long-term stuff, the stuff that endures, that we're going to need year over year, and that's not sort of emergency spending. The OCO account is really supposed to be for emergency spending.
And what would be the top three things in emergency spending? Ordnance, for example?
Or absolutely. Ordnance, you're talking about, you know, personnel overseas. There's plenty of spending on the personnel that we need to have there. There's plenty of spending on you know, any type of equipment that they might need. There's all of those things are very rational. And even there's been a very strong case made for rebuilding things that have been depleted during the wars. But OCO has been used to do a lot of that already. So a lot of depot maintenance, a lot of spending on you know, new equipment that's been depleted. A lot of that's been completed actually in advance of its regular timelines when we go back and look, because, you know, OCO spending is there, and it's this money that we can just keep sort of throwing at the problem.
How competent, I guess you might say, is the Pentagon's accounting systems and its people that do the bean counting for dividing things into the buckets they should be?
So there's a very big problem that's come to light relatively recently, that when the money goes from Congress to the Pentagon, it all goes into one big bucket, and they can no longer tell the difference between OCO spending and base spending. And so you're just pulling it all from the same thing. And that especially is a problem because we're on the front end, we're thinking about this, but once it goes to the Pentagon, there's no difference.
So what would you have Congress do? Because this seems like something that both Democrats and Republicans are complaining about, even if they have different end views for what the base budget ought to be.
Yeah, this is really a bipartisan issue. This is about transparency and responsible budgeting. And there are some measures. I mean, I would honestly recommend that Congress do away with the BCA at this point and go back to the normal budgeting process. I think that we've gone so far afield of the original purpose of OCO that it's not serving its purpose anymore. Short of that, though, there are a few measures that could be taken along the lines of stronger accounting processes at the Pentagon, requiring a listing of enduring requirements every year to be submitted along with the budget. And also requiring that the OCO designation, the guidance, be updated, because that guidance hasn't been updated since 2010. And so most of the current operations that we're involved in, those aren't included under the guidance. So we're just sort of doing this willy-nilly and making special exceptions, many exceptions for readiness or the European Reassurance Initiative, all of these things that maybe deserve a closer look.
Lacey Healy is a fellow at the Stimson Center's Budgeting for Foreign Affairs and Defense program. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Find a link to her column and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.